essence of life itself. And perhaps perhaps they're the same thing, or at least very similar, or very, very connected. And later on in that flood story, it says, but God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark. And he sent a wind over the earth and the waters receded. You guess what that word is? That word is ruach. Again, this time it's interpreted wind. And it's very similar to the creation story itself. If you remember, the wind was brooding over the waters. So the story of Noah, in some respects, is a recreation story. Let's look. So we can put the other one up now. So there is another word that's used for that term breath, the breath of life. It's neshama. And that's in the second creation story in Genesis. Let's look at a little scripture from that. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. So neshama, it also has this sense of God's essence and the human essence being the same thing, or being we're imbued with divine potential, let's say, and that's what brings us to life. That's what makes us living beings. So there are other words used in this way as well. Now let's look at some of the Christian scriptures, what Christians tend to call the New Testament. Maybe we'll look at the first slide here. Actually, I think isn't there one with? Yeah, got it. Excellent. So there's a couple of words that are used for spirit, wind, breath, and this essence of life. The first one is pneuma. We get obviously words in English like pneumatic and pneumatology and pneumonia and things like that. We get from that word. And then there's psuche or psyche or psycho, that's also used for the essence of life, the soul, our sense of being, our humanity in some respects. So a couple of examples of psuche, for instance, are, maybe we could put those next two up. Yeah. For whoever wants, this is a familiar scripture. I think we talk about this one a lot here. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? And the words there for life and soul are psuche. It's just sort of the human essence, if you like. And it's also used in reference to Jesus. Jesus says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Give his life, his psuche. That's what Jesus gave away. That life breath, that aliveness, that identity was what Jesus willingly gave away. So that's psuche. But let's get back to pneuma, the word for wind and also interpreted as spirit. That's used interchangeably in this passage where Jesus is talking to a Pharisee called Nicodemus. And Nicodemus is, I think he's on Jesus' side. We sort of find that out a little bit later. But he's asking all kinds of questions, and Jesus is asking him all kinds of questions. It's a really interesting conversation in the third chapter of John. Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit." Two elements there. Because the word for spirit there is pneuma. So it's like, unless they are born of water and wind, you could say. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. So again, we have this sense of creativity, new creation associated with wind, associated with the air. The wind blows wherever it pleases. So now we're going to call it wind. It's the same word, pneuma. There's a sense of mystery about the spirit, about wind, right? We don't know where it comes from, where it goes. I mean, Bill Nye kind of explained a little bit about that at the beginning of the service, and but we still don't fully understand it all. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the spirit, born of the pneuma, born of the wind. So we have this sense of mystery, again, creativity, the presence of God to us in a very personal kind of way as well. Let's look at another example of it being used in the Christian scriptures. And I think this is very similar again to something we read in right at the beginning of the Hebrew scriptures in Genesis. This is kind of John's version of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit coming. Jesus has come back from the dead and is visiting with his disciples. Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit, receive the Holy Pneuma." And there's that sense of breath and spirit, like somehow our breath contains or is the essence of God, contains that divine essence. And we'll look at the final one here. The day of Pentecost itself, we see this word pneuma used repetitively. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all gathered together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be like tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Pneuma, and began to speak in other tongues as the Pneuma, as the Spirit enabled them. So we have this sound of a rushing. That word in the original language is not pneuma, but it's got the same root as the word pneuma. So it's all from the same root. So there's this rushing wind, and then they're filled with the Holy Spirit. So the ancients saw air, wind, the Spirit of God, our breath, as very much one and the same thing. And the presence of God, the presence of God's Spirit, the presence of God to us in a very mysterious kind of way, but also in a very personal way. Because if you think about it, our breath is so personal, right? It's so close to us. It's so intimate. And the ancients tended to think of God as being that close. Like the breath is, and it's almost beyond a metaphor. It's as though God is our breath. God's presence to us is this. God is with us. As we were singing earlier, God is here. And then we release it out, and then we take it in again. And God is that close to us. So what we're going to do this morning is try to experience God rather than thinking about God through air. And that's why there's a bunch of different fans around the room and at the back of the room. And we've got different stations that we're going to experience together in a moment. But first of all, I wanted to talk a little bit more about breath. Because, and we're going to do an exercise together, all of us, before we break to do the other exercises. And breath is so, I think, so helpful to us, or can be so helpful to us, as it was in ancient days, to experiencing God, to help us experience that intimate presence of this mysterious spirit, this mysterious pneuma, this mysterious ruach. And, you know, one of the things I think, just from a personal angle, so I'm not making any categorical statements about this right now. I'm just saying, just talking really from a personal experience. But, the things that strike me about breath are that on the one hand, it's something we're usually completely unconscious of, right? We don't really think about breathing, but we're all completely dependent on it. So we're dependent on something that we're not even thinking about. And that's, I think, a lot of how God works, right? We're very often not conscious, but you know, based on these scriptures and based on perhaps what many of us believe, like God is part of our being. God is holding everything together. Whatever God is holding all things together. And but we're not always conscious of it, not always aware of it. But we become conscious of it, like our breathing, when we're stressed, basically, don't we? You know, so if we're anxious, we start breathing a bit quicker. If we're sick, you know, if we have problems with our heart, with our lungs, with our, you know, and other conditions where we become breathless, or if we're having to do labor, you know, work, and we become breathless. And there's other reasons, you know, if we go up to high altitude and we're not used to that, et cetera, there's, and we become aware of our breath. In those moments. And so in some respects, it feels like our bodies kind of control our breath, right? Because if I'm running, my body's doing work, I start breathing quicker. If I'm getting anxious, you know, my heart starts racing and my lungs start going. Our bodies seem to control our breath. But actually, the reverse is true as well, that our breath can control our bodies. And Herbert Benson, a physician from the 70s, did some studies which show a measurable, what he called relaxation response, when we just focus on our breathing. It affects our neurology, you know, our nerves, it affects our endocrinology, our hormones, all sorts of different physiological responses that help us calm down, help us become more relaxed, help us with things like anxiety, depression, obsession, etc., just through breathing, not even necessarily having really great thoughts while we're breathing, but just the act of breathing. So our breathing can actually have this positive impact on our bodies. And I wonder if that's something to do with the ruach, the pneuma, the breath, the presence of God in us, kind of, which is always veiled. There's something between us and God. We don't quite understand God. We don't really experience God fully. But maybe when we're more aware of our breath, that veil gets much thinner, and we become more aware of our oneness with God, that fact that God is all around us, in the air, the wind, and within us, in our breath. And that's helped me a lot. So I've struggled a lot with anxiety. I've talked about that loads of times here, and I still do. And in fact, the last few months, I've been super anxious for some good reasons, some different things going on in my life that cause me to worry. But I worry and get anxious about ridiculous things. And then I start worrying about worrying because I feel like I shouldn't be worrying. I shouldn't be anxious. I'm a spiritual leader, for Pete's sake. You're supposed to be helpful to people, not anxious, right? So I get anxious about that. And it all comes back to feeling I need to help people more than I do, or that I'm not good enough, and so here's where breathing kind of becomes very real for me. It's like, when we breathe in, what are you going to do next? You have to, right? You have to breathe out. And I find myself with life, it's like, I've got to be good. I've got to be perfect. I've got to be this. I've got to be that. I've got to be that. I need to impress people. I need to perform. I need to do this, that, the other. I need to be a better, all that stuff. I just have to let it go. I have to let it go. I can't be that. And I think this act of breathing, it's actually trust, right? Because when we breathe in, we're not like, I might not get another breath. I need to hold on to this one. We just know it's there. And we just breathe it in again. Because God is there. We don't have to be worried. We have to be worried there's not enough air to go round, right? So for me, that helps me realize I need to let go, because God is there. I can let go because God is there, and not worry about the future, not worry about the past. So I have to hold on to it, but just trust. And so, for me, faith, the more I follow Jesus, the longer I follow Jesus, should I say, the more, when I think about faith, the less it is about thinking the right things about God or about Jesus or about, all the different theological doctrines we have and that kind of stuff. It's way less about that. That seems like something in the past, right? Somebody's said, this is the truth. We write it down. It's all in the past. And then we try to hold on to that past rather than faith being something in the present moment. And that present moment, faith in the present moment, is trust, right? It's trust, trusting that God loves me. God is here. God is present. God is around me. God is within me. God is enough, and I'm enough, and I'm not perfect, right? And I'm not whatever it is I'm worrying about. And actually, those things may not go away, but I can just let go and take God in again, and let go and take God in again. So we're going to just do that for a few minutes together. We're going to just put the lights down a little, and we're just going to start off by just breathing. I think we're probably all a little conscious of our breath, and maybe it's a bit awkward because we've all got masks on, right? Apart from me. but just try to ignore that. But let's just, I would just close our eyes. We're going to put the lights down a little bit, I think. And thank you. And just close your eyes and then just breathe. Focus on breathing in and out. You don't have to take big gulps of air. Just breathe in and out. And focus on your breathing. Be aware of it. Be aware of it as God's presence. Enjoy it. Take God in. And then let go. And know that God is still there. As you breathe in, don't worry about your thoughts. Just take God in. Receive it as God, God's very self to us. Not just our breath, but the ruach, the pneuma. Our life one with the life of God. God is present to us. No matter what we think about ourselves, no matter how anxious we are, no matter however much we look down on ourselves, no matter what we've done and feel ashamed of, that next breath is still there. God is still there. God hasn't left us. We're totally accepted. Just relax into it. God is with us. So we just pause that there. That was obviously a very brief exercise. It's an exercise we can do pretty much anywhere, anytime, any place, and something we could, you could call it meditation. You could call it a breath prayer. You could call it intentional breathing. Doesn't really matter what we call it, right? But that's something we can all do, and we can actually do that. So we're going to, I'm going to talk us through some of the stations. We're going to have an opportunity to break, go move around to different stations. But you may just want to sit where you are. There'll be sort of an image of air blowing over a field of wheat on the screens, and just practice that during these exercises we're going to do. Or you may want to do it at home this week. And there are prayer exercises and reflections that you can download online or pick up a hard copy out in the lobby, which includes some of those kind of things and other things too. Regarding the stations, if you're on Zoom, there's a way you can participate as well. So in the chat right now, Alison will be dropping a document with some links, which means you can pretty much do most of the things that are going to be in this room if you have access to a fan. I think she mentioned that at the beginning, that just grab a fan. And most of us have some of those in our houses, in our homes. So what we're going to do today is, as I said, move around. We've got some stations. The one at the back there in that corner where the colourful chairs are, and there's a little fan over there. That's the exercise there is called Cool Breeze. And some of us may be just feeling tired, weighed down, almost like, you know, those hot, humid summer days where it feels like the air weighs a ton and it's just heavy on you. So heavy on you. And then when you get a little breath of air that comes across a face, it's like, ah. Well, the fan there is set on low. So there's room for four people to sit in those chairs, and it's just going to oscillate around. And just receive that refreshment. Receive it as God's presence to you. Going back to that word ruach, and back to the creation stories, maybe we can put this scripture up. We got the next one. Yeah. So in chapter 3 of Genesis, it says, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Okay, so that's the sort of fall story. But if you look at that in a different translation, it says this: they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. That word is ruach. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So it's a sense of God's presence is actually this refreshing breeze, this ruach, this gentle breeze. And that may be what we need right now. So with all these stations, you can do all of them. You could do one of them. That may be one that you'd appreciate doing. So check that one out. Over here, we have a storm. So the ruach can be, or the pneuma can be very, much stronger than a cool breeze, right? And so what we're going to do here is stand in front of a storm, And I'll put all these on in a second. And you can just stand here like this. And feel a much stronger wind. And storms can be violent, they can be problematic, but they can also be incredibly beautiful, right? And productive. They blow things down that need to come down. They blow dead leaves out of trees and all that kind of thing. And so as we stand in front of that storm, we might reflect on the fact that we're in storms. Maybe your life feels really stormy at the moment. Sometimes we have storms in our life because of things we've done, you know, situations we've got ourselves into. Sometimes life just happens and it just feels chaotic. But maybe God is in that storm. You know, on that station, there's the story of the storm where Jesus walks on the water to the disciples and calls out in the storm to the disciples. And Peter actually walks to Jesus on the water. You know, how can we respond to God in the storm? What needs to be blown down in our own lives or blown away in our own lives? What kind of disruption is needed in our own lives? What perhaps in the storm we're in, we're just fighting it and trying to get past it rather than letting it do the work that it needs to do in our life. So that's the station. Again, I'll put all those on so there's room for several people at a time. And we're just standing in front of that storm. And I would get up really close. You heard it sort of rattling, I think, in the microphone. Feel it rattling in your ears like you stood on the beach in a storm and it's, you know, the wind's really hitting you. And experience God through that. Over on this one, we have, this is called Sail. And if you think about it, we've done an amazing job of leveraging the wind, of harnessing the wind to sail all over. I think we've got some images of this, sail all over the world. In fact, we've explored pretty much the whole globe just on boats like this, for good and for bad, right? A lot of our traveling and exploring has not been positive, but we've harnessed incredible energy because of the wind. And maybe that's what we need. We need to wind, as we were singing earlier, or we'll sing later. We need the wind in our sails, right? We just need God to come and blow energy into us, you know, to give us our spark back, mixing metaphors there, obviously, but to re-energize us. Or maybe it's we kind of lost our first love and we just need the Spirit of God, the Ruach, Pneuma, to blow in and through us. We've also harnessed the wind to flight, right? Now, you know, we get lift from the wind. We need thrust, of course, to fly. But if you think about gliding, where we don't, you know, if you get in a glider and you're just gliding, that's, as a Buzz Lightyear, I think, would call it this, falling with style, right? Where we actually get to just let go and move around. And maybe that's the image we need to have in our mind, or maybe that's what we need. We need to just let go and kind of let God lift us, give us some lift. I think there's one more picture there we'll skip, though, Greg. So this on this station, I hope this doesn't seem too corny, but we're gonna kind of sail and fly, or imagine that. So we're going to have, you can come behind these fans. These are pretty strong fans, and put up an umbrella, and you can kind of feel like that can feel like a sail. You've got to use your imagination, or you could feel it like lift, just being lifted. And this scripture in Isaiah, or Isaiah, as some people say, incorrectly, says, he gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even the youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. So, you know, if you're feeling exhausted, you're young at heart. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So there's that sense of being lifted up. And maybe we need to you know that God is behind us, filling our sails. Or maybe we need to know that God is in front of us, lifting us, because we have to face the wind in order to get that lift. So part of it may be just trusting that God's behind us. Part of it might be turning to face God. Maybe we've turned away from God in some way, or we're just not, we need to grow in our awareness, perhaps. Now we have some other visual stations. So over here, There'll be a visual image of seeds. I'll explain about that in a moment. And the corresponding one under together over there is a visual image of chaff. Now, let me explain those. So with the seeds, we've all seen seeds floating in the air. Like we watch dandelions. You know, we've all blown dandelion seeds, I'm sure. Spread the seeds around, much to the annoyance of our neighbors and that kind of thing. Or we've watched maple seeds spiral down. So the air is full of, or is moving things around. You know, we talk about pollination, for instance. We put a big emphasis on insect pollination, which is wonderful. But most pollination is wind pollination. So all the cereal crops that we eat are pollinated by wind. So there's important stuff going on that's pretty random. The wind, insect pollination is much more specific. That's why it evolved later. It's an insect being attracted to a plant and then moving around. Wind pollination is way more random. So with the video of the seeds in the air that we can watch, reflect on what apparent random things are going on in my own life that actually I need to respond to them. Opportunities that come to me, or maybe I'm the, so it's like seeds coming to me, or maybe I'm the seed and I need to go out, that the wind is sort of fertilizing and creating new life. What is that? Who am I passing? Whose life am I involved in? Perhaps in a random kind of way. And what might God want to do in that situation? The scripture here from Hebrews says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. In other words, we don't know really what's happening in our engagement with people. So let's open our minds to that by just stand around that video screen and watch it. It's on a loop and reflect in that way. Over here we have a video of chaff, of the winnowing of chaff. So, the wheat kernels surrounded by chaff are separated by throwing it up in the wind. The scripture here is one that John the Baptist said about Jesus. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, pneuma, and fire. So we've got multiple elements here, water, fire, and air. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor. There's earth, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now that sounds very apocalyptic, sounds classic John the Baptist. You can imagine him. And it's also Jesus coming with his winnowing fork. It can sound very sort of fire and brimstone-ish. But think about it like this. What just needs to be separated off from our own lives? What do we need to let go of? What needs to be blown away from our lives? Things that perhaps we know about. Maybe there's some things that we don't know about. What if we viewed it as just being released from those things, set free from those things? And actually what's left, as you watch that video, what's left is wheat, something nutritious, something healthy, something wholesome. That's what this is about. It's not about burning us and condemning us. It's about setting us free. And wind has that capacity. The pneuma, the ruach, has that capacity to set us free. So that's that station over there. We'll set those videos going in a second. And now we also have other stations that we usually have each week. So, you can write out prayers, just your own personal prayer or a prayer request under Grow and Journey. We're going to do communion as well. Communion, where we eat bread and wine, bread and grapes, where the wine comes from, use carbon dioxide from the air to through photosynthesis to make the use that energy to make food for us, right? So as we're eating those, we can sort of take in the power of pneuma, the power of ruach, and experience that sense of when Jesus said, I'm breathing my life into you. I'm breathing the spirit into you and sending you out, that we are empowered to go out with the pneuma, with the ruach, with the presence of God into all the world. So we can take communion and just move around as you feel free. There won't be a specific communion time. If you want to do communion first, that's great. If you want to do it at the end, fantastic. We have our Ukrainian prayer station there. We're going to keep that going until this war is over. And so you can light a candle and pray at the back. And we also will have people who can pray with you at the back. And it may be, here's another way of looking at breath, is our voices are our breath, right? We have this, I mean, as far as we know in the whole universe, we are the only organism that has the degree of language that we have. Now, we don't know about the whole universe, of course, but certainly within what the universe as it's known to us, we're the only ones that have this sophisticated language, which is mediated through breath. If we don't have breath, we can't talk. We have vocal cords that resonate in certain ways to give and movements of our tongue and our mouth and everything to have this intricate language. That's kind of like perhaps the expression, the most powerful expression of God, as we listen to one another and hear one another, as we are vulnerable with one another and share with one another. So this morning it might be voice is the way in which the ruach, the pneuma, is how you need to experience it. And you could sit with somebody in your seat and talk and maybe have a meaningful conversation. Or if you want somebody to pray with you and you want to share something, come and see us at the back. So there's lots of opportunities to do this. So feel free to do all of them. Feel free to do none of them. Use this time the way that you feel is most valuable for you. It will just take us a few moments to walk around the room and switch everything on and then just go at it. Okay. We're going to put an image up on the screen. And then we'll go for 15, 20 minutes and then we'll close out with a couple of songs. Okay. So let's get up and move around.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to sing a couple songs together. So let's just stand if you're able. If you want, if you prefer to stay seated, that's fine too. The visual stations will keep going. If you want to go to one of those, feel free to keep doing that. And let's think about this. When we're singing, that's also our breath, right? Our very coordinated breath, and something that we're doing together. We're kind of, in a sense, breathing together, experiencing God together. So let's join together.